commence our new series on Sunday evenings in 1 Kings. And it's really a continuation of our series, which began about 10 years ago in Genesis, making our way straight through the Old Testament. And as we mentioned when we studied 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 Kings is in some English translations called 3 Kings. In those translations, which are based on the Latin Vulgate, the first Latin translation of the Bible, 1 and 2 Samuel are called 1 and 2 Kings because they tell the story of the transition period from the judges to the kings, beginning with the first two kings, Saul and David. Now in the book before us this evening, we learn of the life, we begin to learn of the life of David's successor, Solomon, and the kings who followed him. This story, of course, continues into the next book, which we call 2 Kings. Tonight, 1 Kings chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. Now, King David was old and advanced in years, and although they covered him with clothes, he could not get warm. Therefore, his servant said to him, "Let a young woman be sought for my lord the king, and let her wait on the king and be in his service. Let her lie in your arms, that my lord the king may be warm." So they sought for a beautiful young woman throughout all the territory of Israel and found Abishag the Shunammite and brought her to the king. The young woman was very beautiful, and she was of service to the king and attended to him, but the king knew her not. Now Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself, saying, "I will be king." And he prepared for himself chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before him. His father, David, had never at any time displeased him by asking, "Why have you done thus and so?" He was also a very handsome man, and he was born next after Absalom. He conferred with Joab, the son of Zeruiah, and with Abiathar, the priest, and they followed Adonijah and helped him. But Zadok, the priest, and Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, and Nathan, the prophet, and Shimei, and Rei, and David's mighty men, were not with Adonijah. Adonijah sacrificed sheep, oxen, and fattened cattle by the serpent stone, which is beside En-Rogel, and he invited all his brothers, the king's sons, and all the royal office officials of Judah. But he did not invite Nathan the prophet or Benaiah or the mighty men of Solomon, his brother. Then Nathan said to Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon, "Have you not heard that Adonijah, the son of Haggith, has become king, and David our Lord does not know it? Now therefore come, let me give you advice that you may save your own life and the life of your son Solomon. Go in at once to King David and say to him, 'Did you not, my lord the king, swear to your servant, saying, Solomon your son shall reign after me, and he shall sit on my throne? Why then is Adonijah king?' Then while you are still speaking with the king, I also will come in after you and confirm your words." So Bathsheba went to the king in his chamber. Now the king was very old, and Abishag the Shunammite was attending to the king. Bathsheba bowed and paid homage to the king, and the king said, "What do you desire?" She said to him, "My lord, you swore to your servant by the Lord your God, saying, 'Solomon your son shall reign after me, and he shall sit on my throne.' And now, behold, Adonijah is king, although you, my lord the king, do not know it. He has sacrificed oxen, fattened cattle, and sheep in abundance, and has invited all the sons of the king, Abiathar the priest, and Joab the commander of the army, but Solomon your servant he has not invited. And now, my lord the king, the eyes of all Israel are on you to tell them who shall sit on the throne of my lord the king after him. Otherwise, it will come to pass when my lord the king sleeps with his fathers that I and my son Solomon will be counted offenders." While she was still speaking with the king, Nathan the prophet came in, And they told the king, there is Nathan the prophet. And when he came in before the king, he bowed before the king with his face to the ground. And Nathan said, my lord the king, have you said, Adonijah shall reign after me, and he shall sit on my throne? For he has gone down this day and sacrificed oxen, fattened cattle, and sheep in abundance, and has invited all the king's sons, the commanders of the army, and Abiathar the priest, and behold, they are eating and drinking before him, and saying, long live King Adonijah! But me, your servant, and Zadok the priest, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, and your servant Solomon, he has not invited. Has this thing been brought about by my lord the king, and you have not told your servants who should sit on the throne of my lord the king after him? Then King David answered, call Bathsheba to me. So she came into the king's presence and stood before the king. And the king swore, saying, as the Lord lives, who has redeemed my soul out of every adversity, as I swore to you by the Lord, the God of Israel, saying, Solomon your son shall reign after me, and he shall sit on my throne in my place, even so will I do this, this day. Then Bathsheba bowed with her face to the ground and paid homage to the king and said, may my lord King David live forever. King David said, call to me Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada. So they came before the king, and the king said to them, take with you the servants of your lord and have Solomon my son ride on my own mule. And bring him down to Gihon. And let Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet there anoint him king over Israel. Then blow the trumpet and say, long live King Solomon. You shall then come up after him, and he shall come and sit on my throne, for he shall be king in my place. And I have appointed him to be ruler over Israel and over Judah. And Benaiah the son of Jehoiada answered the king, amen. May the Lord, the God of my Lord the King, say so. As the Lord has been with my Lord the King, even so may he be with Solomon, and make his throne great, greater than the throne of my Lord King David. So Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, and the Cherethites and the Pelethites went down and had Solomon ride on King David's mule, and brought him to Gihon. There Zadok the priest took the horn of oil from the tent and anointed Solomon. Then they blew the trumpet, and all the people said, long live King Solomon! And all the people went up after him, playing on pipes and rejoicing with great joy, so that the earth was split by their noise. Adonijah and all the guests who were with him heard it as they finished feasting. And when Joab heard the sound of the trumpet, he said, what does this uproar in the city mean? While he was still speaking, behold, Jonathan, the son of Abiathar, the priest, came. And Adonijah said, come in, for you are a worthy man, and bring good news. Jonathan answered Adonijah, no, for our Lord King David has made Solomon king. And the king has sent with him Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, and the Cherethites and the Pelethites. And they had him ride on the king's mule. And Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet have anointed him king at Gihon. And they have gone up from there rejoicing, so that the city is in an uproar. This is the noise that you have heard. Solomon sits on the royal throne. Moreover, the king's servants came to congratulate our Lord King David, saying, may your God make the name of Solomon more famous than yours, and make his throne greater than your throne. And the king bowed himself to the bed. And the king also said, blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who has granted someone to sit on my throne this day, my own eyes seeing it. Then all the guests of Adonijah trembled and rose, and each went his own way. And Adonijah feared Solomon. So he arose and went and took hold of the horns of the altar. Then it was told Solomon, behold, Adonijah fears King Solomon, for behold, he has laid hold of the horns of the altar, saying, let King Solomon swear to me first that he will not put his servant to death with the sword. And Solomon said, if he will show himself a worthy man, not one of his hairs shall fall to the earth. But if wickedness is found in him, he shall die. So King Solomon sent, and they brought him down from the altar. And he came and paid homage to King Solomon. And Solomon said to him, go to your house. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Let's look to our God once again in prayer. Lord of lords, King of kings, we bow before you with humility. You who humbled yourself and who has now been exalted far above all powers in heaven and on earth. We pray that you will show yourself in this your written word by the ministry of your Holy Spirit poured out upon your church and into the life of each and every saint, that we may worship, adore, and follow you to the glory of God our Father. Through Christ we pray. Amen. Well, David, as we read, was on his deathbed. The question was, who will be his successor? It needed to be answered sooner rather than later. The first chapter of 1 Kings shows us how it was answered. It was answered for those who had an immediate interest in the situation. It was recorded so that future generations of Israelites would be assured that Solomon was indeed David's rightful successor. And it was included in God's book so that every generation, including Christians today, may see it as part of God's plan of grace and profit from it. It was written so that we could see Jesus, even through these events that happened in a faraway place many years ago. So let's consider it before we feast by faith on the body and blood of our Lord under 2 points this evening. First, Solomon anointed as king, and second, Jesus our king. First, Solomon anointed as king. As we read, David was on his deathbed. His servants did what was common practice for prominent men in their day. They sent for a young virgin to be brought to him to take care of him and keep him warm. So they found a beautiful young woman, perhaps the most beautiful young woman in the land by their estimation, and they brought her to him. Her name was Abishag, the Shunammite. The identity of this woman and her role here have been variously interpreted. First, regarding her role, though, the ESV Study Bible provides what is a traditional understanding of her role. It says the Hebrew expression for wait in verse 2, where it says, let her wait on the king, appears in Leviticus 18:23 as give herself, where it clearly refers to availability for sexual intercourse. The phrase be in his service in verse 2 leaves the precise nature of the service unstated. And in your arms, which is more literally in your bosom, has sexual overtones, as in Genesis 16:5. This beautiful young woman, then, is no doubt intended to interest David sexually. And his impotence, verse 4 says the king knew her not, is all the encouragement that Adonijah needs to foment rebellion. In other words, David's weak, he's impotent, this is prime time to take the throne. So that's the ESV Study Bible's take on it, and that's really the traditional take on this. The idea that Abishag was then a concubine of David, we've seen he had many other concubines already, is further strengthened by what we will see in chapter 2, when Adonijah asks to have her as his wife. And Solomon interprets this as a form of rebellion. This is an attack on the throne, a usurpation of the throne, a way of proclaiming himself to be king. Remember what Absalom did when he came in to Jerusalem there on the rooftop with David's concubines, 10 concubines. That was an affront. That was an attack. That was a usurpation, a claim to the crown. But more on that next week, Lord willing. Now, some have suggested that Abishag was the Shunammite, in other words, the Shulamite, those are interchangeable, the Shulamite woman of the Song of Solomon. But there's no express evidence of that in the scriptures. But as our passage says, David did not know her, as verse 4 tells us. And word of this making its way to David's son Adonijah, as we said, emboldened him to assert himself as Israel's king. Adonijah's actions, again, were reminiscent of Absalom's rebellion, gathering chariots and horsemen and men around him, men to run before him as he paraded himself around. Like Absalom, Adonijah was also a very handsome man, and like Absalom, full of himself. He made sacrifices, as Absalom did, associated with the consecration of a king, and he and his men were eating and drinking and declaring, "Long live King Adonijah." It's almost exactly what Absalom did when he fomented his rebellion. As we read, this didn't sit well with Nathan, David's friend and prophet, or Bathsheba, David's wife, Solomon's mother. They reminded David that he had sworn to Bathsheba that Solomon, their son, would be anointed as David's successor, and that if he weren't, Solomon and Bathsheba would surely be killed by Adonijah. And it wasn't just that David had told Bathsheba that Solomon would be king. More importantly, God himself had told David that Solomon would be king. In 1 Chronicles chapter 22, beginning in verse 6, David charged Solomon to build the temple. He said, "My son, I had it in my heart to build a house to the name of the Lord. But he said to me, 'You have shed much blood and waged great wars. You shall not build a house to my name, because you have shed so much blood before me on the earth. Behold, a son shall be born to you, who shall be a man of rest. I will give him rest from all his surrounding enemies, for his name shall be Solomon,'" which means peace. "And I will give peace and quiet to Israel in his days. He shall build a house for my name. He shall be my son, and I will be his father, and I will establish his royal throne in Israel forever." So Solomon was God's choice to be David's successor. Following God's revealed will, then, David told his men to bring his mule and set Solomon on it that he might ride down to Gihon, which is a spring on the edge of Jerusalem that provided water for the city. So with much fanfare, Solomon rode David's mule, this beast of burden, into Jerusalem, where he was anointed as Israel's new king. The man, the king whose name means peace, rode an animal into Jerusalem, which was a symbol of peace, not a symbol of making war, but a symbol of peace. Obviously, when Adonijah and his fellow rebels heard about that, they were greatly afraid. Adonijah went to the tent of meeting and took hold of the horns of the altar there. This is speaking of the bronze altar, which is where the burnt offerings were made. It was made of wood, but it was overlaid with bronze, and it had a grate on it. Think of basically a grill where these burnt offerings were made, but on the corners of the top of the bronze altar, in bronze there were the corners sort of formed a point, and so they looked like horns, and so they were referred to as the horns of the altar there on the bronze altar, which was in the outer court of the tabernacle. And it was ancient custom that a religious altar was a place of refuge, a place of sanctuary, where someone who was guilty of something or someone who was a fugitive might flee in order to be safe from retribution. So when Solomon got wind of this, he said, "Have him come to me." And Solomon promised to be merciful. I'm not gonna go ahead and condemn you to death because of what you've done. I'm going to be merciful to you, Adonijah, if you will prove yourself to be a worthy man. In other words, if you will not conspire against me. Well, we'll have to stay tuned to see whether Adonijah was a worthy man or not. But first, we see here this evening in our passage, Solomon anointed as king. And second, like all of Scripture, this points to King Jesus. Unlike Absalom and Adonijah, Jesus did not exalt himself as king. Instead, like David and Solomon, Jesus waited on the Lord. He waited on God, his Father, for his exaltation. Instead, Jesus humbled himself. He humbled himself, not just on a mule or a donkey, but on the colt of a donkey. It's sort of taking an even lower place than Solomon himself took. Jesus humbled himself to the humblest place, the form of a servant, the form of a slave, washing his disciples' feet, humbling himself to even death on a cross. Jesus humbled himself, and he then was exalted as Israel's true king, incarnating his own teaching and the teaching that we see throughout Scripture. He who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted. Like Solomon, he rode into Jerusalem not on a war horse, but on a beast of burden, a symbol of humility and peace. Unlike Solomon, and unlike David too, he would be faithful in the totality of his life. We've been very honest about David as we've studied him. We'll be very honest about Solomon because the Scriptures are honest about these men. They were great men. They were wise men. They were courageous men, but they were fallen men in need of a Savior. And that Savior was Jesus. Jesus is our Savior. He was David's Savior. He was Solomon's Savior. We all need the blood of Jesus. He could be our Savior because he was faithful in the totality of his life. Solomon's name means peace, but Jesus is our peace. For he rode into Jerusalem to lay down his life on the altar of Calvary that we might be forgiven. The bread and the cup that we will celebrate tonight are tokens of his humility and love. They are tokens of the peace we have with God through him. So let us, as God's people, as those washed by the blood of our servant King Jesus and adopted into God's family forever, let us eat and give thanks for our amazing, humble, faithful Savior King. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.